Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 27 of the Attractions Podcast. I'm Banks.
And I'm Brittany.
And we're here to give you the rundown of all the latest happenings at attractionsmagazine.com and in our lives in general. And, well, it's been a lonely week, so to speak. Everyone, hopefully out there is self-quarantining and quarantine, what, I don't know how to, the plural of that, but hopefully you're out there taking care of yourself and, you know, staying at home, social isolation, social distancing, and hope you're doing good. You're keeping busy and, you know, keeping yourself entertained, whether you have your kids or you don't have kids, just, you know, doing what you can.
Yeah, it's been interesting, to say the least, I think.
Yeah, I mean, this really is a historical time, like unprecedented time. Like, we've had pandemics before in the past, like swine flu, but it wasn't this bad. Well, I mean, I know a lot, I think a lot more people died from the swine flu, but you didn't see closures like this happen back then. So this, I mean, this really is unprecedented what we're seeing.
Yeah. I mean, I remember the swine flu. I lived through it, but I, like, I don't remember it passing this quickly through people, you know, like people contracting it so easily.
Right. Yeah. I think the spread of this is what's really, causing this to be such a big pandemic and a big moment, is because it's the, how quick it can spread.
Yeah. So, I don't know. How are you holding up? I feel like we should do a personal well-being check-in.
Yeah. Yeah. We do always do this check-in to see how things are going. But we're doing good here. You know, Spencer's out of school until April 15th now. So we're just taking it one day at a time. You're watching a lot of, like, super simple songs on Amazon Prime. We're playing, we went and bought a few board games, so we've been playing, like, Perfection. I wanted to get Trouble, because I loved Trouble as a kid, but our store was sold out of Trouble, so I'm going to have to go back and see if they get any more in stock. So yeah, we're just kind of taking it a day at a time, and it's hard not being able to get to really go out for a prolonged time.
Yeah, Josh is starting to get, like, cabin fever. He's been taking walks around the neighborhood now.
Yeah,
we haven't been able to go buy groceries because the local HEB, it's our grocery store here in Austin. People line up outside the doors at like 7:30 in the morning, and that's not really being socially distant.
No.
Yeah. And, we don't really want to do that, but at the same time we need groceries. So we've been eating out a lot. I've been playing a lot of video games and watching Netflix shows. And trying not to look at the news. I've only been out of the house twice. And this whole thing has made me, like, super paranoid of going out in public and, like, touching things.
Yeah, right? We're very lucky. Like, hearing your story about your grocery store just makes me realize how lucky we are, as the Target that's right by us over here by Margaritaville. I've been there a couple times over the past week to pick up a few things, especially like medicine, because Sydney and I both caught a horrible stomach bug, unrelated to the coronavirus, thankfully, but it was not good. So I've gone over to our store and it's been normal. It's been like nothing's going on, no crazy lines, not even normally packed. It's actually kind of nice to see how few people there were, and everyone, you know, a lot of people had gloves and masks on. People were taking it seriously when they had to get out to a store, so that was nice to see. At Target, like, oh, the doors open and you just smell the clean, like like all the chemicals they've been using to scrub that store down. So it's I God bless all of you out there who are retail workers, truck drivers, all these very essential positions. Thank you for doing your job and getting out there so that people like us can be able to continue to live a somewhat normal life with necessities that we need.
Yeah, when because I've become so, like, weirded out by going out in public, Josh went and got Animal Crossing for me on Friday from Best Buy, and he said that there was a line of like 30 people waiting to pick up this game. And he said that Best Buy employees had like gloves on and they had two full boxes of copies just like handing them out.
Man.
Yeah.
I'm seeing photos from like Miami and other beaches in Florida where the spring breakers are still spring breaking it up and partying it up. And I'm just like, this is where I feel like an adult and a parent. I'm like, you kids get home.
I'm not even that far away from my college spring break years, and I feel like these kids need to go home. It's just, it's at a point where it's not safe to be around people right now, and you got to take it seriously.
And I'm seeing a lot of people taking it seriously and doing amazing work, being socially distant. And like I said, when I have gone out and seeing the people at the store, they are taking it seriously too. And then I go online and see all the idiots out there, and I'm just like, we're screwed. Humanity is just screwed.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It seems like our neighborhood, at least, save for a birthday party that happened on my street today, like normal. People in my neighborhood walking are like wearing masks and gloves, and if they see someone walking on their side of the street, they'll cross to the opposite side of the street. Mm-hmm. And all of our friends are like sitting in their apartments and houses just like hanging out and not going out and doing things. It's tough to stay by yourself for this long, and it's only been a week, and we don't know how long this is gonna last.
And it could last till May, from what I'm hearing.
I will go crazy. You will see my cabin fever is gonna be madness on this podcast.
On the podcast and on Twitter, so be sure to follow her on Twitter to see the ramblings of someone trying to fight their sanity and build up their island on Animal Crossing.
Listen, I paid off my second mortgage today on like my second house upgrade. The museum gets built tomorrow. We'll talk about all this later, but I'm making great progress.
Yeah. Well, let's just say seeing everyone posting about it online, I have a very big FOMO and really want to get a Switch now, but no one has a Switch in stock anymore because everyone's buying
them. That's what Matt said, because he texted Quinn and I in a group, and he was like, I wanted to buy a Switch, but they're all out of stock everywhere, and I'm pretty sure it's because all the factories in China and Japan that make them are closed.
Yeah, and everyone's buying them up to play while in isolation, which makes sense. And I'm sure Nintendo's making a few extra bucks because of it. But yeah, even Amazon doesn't have any like shipments available until April. It's insane.
Meanwhile, I have a spare one because I upgraded to the Animal Crossing Switch that I can't sell to GameStop now because the GameStops are closed.
Brittany, I'm itching my arm here. I'm like, Brittany, how much you want for that Switch? How much you want? I'll send you some Lysol, clean it up, just send it to me.
I just see, and that's what I'm scared of, because I would happily be like, hey, do you want to buy my Switch? But like, what if I mail it and then like the mail stops for a little while, you know? Like,
yeah.
And there it is. It's gone. There's what, like $200, $250 I could have gotten back on it, gone, because it's lost in the mail because they stopped the mail. An
uncertain time.
Yeah. So that's how we are. Just trying to hold on and retain some kind of normalcy through all of this.
Exactly. A bit of a programming note for those listening who are also Early Night Live viewers. We're not going to be doing Early Night Live as usual. I had went over to Ava's apartment last week since she lives by herself. I figured it would be, you know, safe to do so. We had a great episode where we watched an old Disney sing-along song and made fun of it. It was great. The more I'm thinking about it, I think it would be best if Ava and I just continue to stay separated and not meet up, especially since she does live downtown Orlando. That required me to go there and drive and have to, you know, walk through downtown to get up there. So I'm not going to do that anymore, and I'm not going to make Ava drive out to my house. You know, just save gas and, you know, stay apart. So I think what we're probably going to be doing is each week one of us will take the stream. So like this week I'll take the stream and do a Q&A or show off some of the things in the house. Next week Ava will take the stream and do a Q&A and you know, maybe play some of her, because she has a Switch, play some games. So it's just going to be a back and forth right now with Arty Night Live every week until everything is blown over.
How did that live watch go? Did people like it?
Yeah, people seemed to really love it. We had a good amount of viewers. We had someone donate $50, which thank you.
I saw that. I tuned in for a little bit, and I saw the donation went.
I forget the username, but I shouted them out on the stream. Thank you for the donation. All of our donations go straight to Give Kids the World, so that'll be great for them. It went great. People really dug it. I suggested that we maybe watch Camp Out at Walt Disney World next, and Ava shot that down because of how horrible this video was.
Have some fun, man. Those are good in, like, a bad way.
They are. They really are. Maybe we'll do like a rewatch and discuss it in 1 week.
That's what we need to do now. We need to figure out how to do this like face to face, but not really.
Well, what we should do is just watch some. Like, this is something that we had once discussed about way at the beginning of the podcast, was doing a Disney Plus Watch of the Week.
Right.
And it just ended up not being able to work out because we just never had time to, because we were all both busy working and doing other things. But now that we're both stuck at home, it's maybe a good time to revive that idea and do like a some kind of Watch of the Week where we watch something on Disney Plus, or we watch an old video. And then we just discuss it. So that might be something that we'll do next week.
Yeah, I'm down for it. I mean, other than work, all I'm doing is playing Animal Crossing. So, yeah, I have plenty of time to watch things now.
I'm sure Tom Nook and Isabella and the Islanders can take a break for an hour and a half to watch a movie.
An hour and a half, sure. I can't take a single day's break. You know, so much happens in one day.
Oh my God! Okay, we'll discuss this later. Right now, let's jump into some news in the queue, shall we?
All right, I threw this in there because the parks are still closed, but I thought we could discuss a general state of the parks, like a State of the Union kind of thing, where we just talk about what's
all right.
going on.
Let's throw it over to Disney. Disney, cricket sound. Universal, cricket sound. SeaWorld, cricket sound.
Yeah, everything is closed still. allegedly, it's all going to open by the end of the month. I say that really lightly. Cedar Fair did announce on Friday that they were extending their closure to mid-May, which is nuts.
There it is. I guarantee you that is going to be the normal. That's what's going to be the norm. Once the bigger parks start making announcements, we got to see who is going to be the first two. I mean, we can obviously say Cedar Fair was the first, because that includes Knott's and Cedar Point and King's Dominion and several other parks around the country. Those are all now closed till mid-May. So now we just wait and see which of the big guns are going to make the first announcement. Obviously, Disney was the first of all the parks to make a closure announcement a few weeks ago. So really, like a week and a half ago now. God, it's only been a week and a half. God, it feels longer. But we'll see who makes that announcement first. I'm willing to bet Disney will probably be the one to lead the way.
Yeah. Everyone will be looking to them to lead, too. So that's like an extra bit of pressure.
How soon do you think that they will?
They would have to do it before the 30th or the 31st. They're 31 days in March. Is that next week?
Yeah.
So next week sometime.
I went onto the Disney website yesterday actually to check to see if they had fast passes, and they do still have fast passes available starting April 1st. And that was yesterday. So that's something I'm going to check every single day and see if the fast passes continue to be able to be booked, because when that goes away, then you know an announcement's imminent.
Yeah. And it's Sunday. And if you are or have ever been a cast member, schedules went out or they were supposed to. I've seen people say on Twitter that they did not go out today.
Yeah. I've got to talk to Sydney and ask her because she, you know, works at Animal Kingdom Lodge. And see what hers says, if it says anything. I'm not sure. I know she showed me her schedule from last week, and she worked on Friday, the day the hotels closed, and then she had a schedule for Saturday, but on her schedule it said, do not, in all caps, do not come to work, which was kind of ominous. But, you know, hotels are closed now. The roads around Walt Disney World are pretty barren. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, I saw all the photos that we've been posting, the helicopter pictures and the driver cam video that we posted, and it's eerie, man. It really is. Urban exploring, but like not really at the same time. Just the levels of emptiness.
Yeah. But so what other park updates do we have?
Well, in some lighter news, a bit of good news. A couple of Asia parks have started to reopen slightly.
That's good.
Yeah. On the other side of the world, many smaller theme parks in Asia have started to see limited reopenings and operation. And two of these include Legoland Japan and Shanghai Disney Resort. Legoland Japan is now partially open, so the park itself is now partially open. I believe guests have to do a health check and wear masks. And Sea Life Nagoya, their aquarium, is also open. And this decision was made based on carefully considering the risk of mass infection, confined space, density, and social distance.
It's a good thing to see because obviously this coronavirus kind of originated, if I'm pronouncing it right, in Wuhan, China, is where the epicenter was. Yeah. So the fact that you do have theme parks in the China and Japan regions starting to reopen, that's a good sign that, you know, things are starting to become a little bit more back to normal there. So then gradually, hopefully, that will expand out and the world will be back to normal.
Right. And this has been, I know the virus has been around since November of 2019, but I don't know if it got bad until January.
So that's, I think, like it was January is when Wuhan really had a horrible outbreak and they shut the whole city down. So, you know, 2 months, 2.5 months possibly, since they had closed down. So we could be seeing 2.5 months here too. So that would put us, good Lord, like end of May, maybe early June.
Yeah. As for Shanghai Disney Resort, their operations are much more limited than Legoland Japan. Only a handful of shopping, dining, and recreational locations and offerings are open right now in Disneytown, Wishing Star Park, and at Shanghai Disney Hotel. The resort's car and coach park is still open. The Disneytown parking lot is still open, but the park itself, Shanghai Disneyland, is still closed.
Which makes sense.
Yeah, so as of right now, I believe Tokyo Disneyland and Sea are still closed. Universal Japan is still closed. I believe Universal Singapore is still open, though, unless they've changed that recently.
Unless it was changed over the past day, Singapore is still the only Universal park in the world that is currently open.
Which I can't believe.
Yeah,
at this point, it should be closed, but there are a few select attractions still open in Orlando, mostly on iDrive at Icon Park. Fun Spot is still open, though visiting these attractions, of course, is at your own risk. You know, practice social distancing, don't really touch things, but they're open.
So as of recording this on Sunday evening, they announced today that the wheel, the Icon wheel, I'm always going to come the Orlando Eye, whatever, Mount Tussauds and Sea Life, they're finally going to close down tomorrow. But Fun Spot still has yet to announce any closure as of this recording. That obviously that could change between now and when we post the episode. Who knows? But they need to shut down because it's so stupid that it's stupid that Tussauds even stayed open this long because they encourage you touching the freaking mannequins. So who knows? Like how many of those mannequins probably have the virus on it? Because the if I'm not mistaken, the virus can live on an object for I think 3 or 4 days, up to 3 or 4 days. So, like, why they wait so long?
I mean, I can understand, like, if I separate myself from, like, the humanitarian side of it and, like, view it from a business perspective, they're trying to make money and they're probably going to lose a lot by closing right now, as Disney is, as Universal is. So they're just trying to make money while they can. But at the same time, it's there are people's lives at stake here. It's like a literal life or death situation.
Especially with this being Orlando, the theme park capital of the world.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people here.
Mm-hmm. And you never know who could have been sick and passed through an attraction before you or gotten on a ride before you. So it's better to be safe than sorry, you know?
Yeah. Especially this case that happened a couple days ago, and you know, God bless his family, but there was a 34-year-old who died from the coronavirus, from California, who had recently visited Walt Disney World in early March, well before they announced any closures. He was there from like March 4th through the 7th or something like that. Same time you were here, Brittany. And before he even left Walt Disney World, he started coughing up blood and showing symptoms. And then he took a plane back to California where his health just deteriorated and he passed away, unfortunately. So
see, my last day was on the 4th, though. I didn't go to the parks after the 4th.
We did, and a lot of people did, because like they didn't announce this closure until the week before this past Thursday. So it's already been a little over a week. So, you know, who knows everything that he wrote and touched at Universal and Disney.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's scary to think about.
Yeah. And that's why when we got back, when we got back was when things kind of went haywire. We were aware of people self-isolating and everything. And Josh and I chose to self-isolate for 14 days after.
Yeah.
Before his work made him stay home, he chose to stay home. Because they weren't making him, and we were like, that doesn't seem like a good idea.
Yeah.
But thankfully, we didn't exhibit any symptoms. I checked our temperatures like every day. So we are like in the clear. It's been 2 weeks since we went. But yeah, I mean, who knows what could have happened?
Yeah. Well. So that's the state of the parks. Let's move on from the doom and gloom. Let's talk some happy for a little bit. We need some to pep up some cheer in here.
All right. So because of all of this goings on, Disney has had to adjust their theatrical release schedule a little bit. If you haven't heard, Black Widow has been delayed. Mulan, the live action remake, has been delayed, and Onward was removed from theaters just 2 weeks after its first release on March the 6th, I believe, and it is now available to purchase on digital, and you can watch it on Disney Plus starting April 3rd, which is crazy.
Yeah, and a lot of movie studios now are starting to take their movies out and just putting them out digitally because, you know, they want people to give them incentive to stay at home. So what better incentive than to be like, hey, all right, this movie that we were putting in theaters, we're going to go ahead and make it available digitally so y'all can just watch it from home, the comfort of your home, which is cool. I know that there are even possibly rumors that they're considering releasing the next Wonder Woman movie just straight to digital and just bypassing the theaters. So obviously they're going to... obviously, if that happens, you know, studios are going to probably lose a lot of money. But at the same time, you know, the movies, when they put them out on digital, they're charging you more than you would spend to go to a movie theater. Because when you go buy a ticket to a movie theater, the cost splits between the studio and the theater itself, especially with concessions. So when you're spending $20, that goes straight to the studio. So you think that they actually might make a little bit more money. Like, I'd be interested to know how much money Onward's going to make on digital.
Yeah, because right now, most of the films that have released early, like Invisible Man, Birds of Prey, shoot, what was the other one? There was another one.
The Hunt.
The Hunt, that's what it was. And Onward are all being recommended for an MSRP of $20, $19.99. And mm-hmm. that is to own, not to rent, I believe, though it could be it to is. Rent and not to own.
No, it's to own.
Oh, wow. They,
it's to own.
Well, then there you go. You can pay $20, which is probably what you would pay for a movie ticket and maybe like one food thing. And own the movie.
We bought it. We bought it. We watched it.
Did you like it?
I loved it. It was, it's your typical Pixar tearjerker that makes me like ball up into a heaping, weeping pile.
Yeah, well, Josh has no interest in seeing it. I am neither here nor there about it. I don't know. Something about the animation just doesn't feel Pixar to me. But I'll watch it when it's on Disney Plus.
There you go.
Yeah.
Now Universal.
I haven't Universal, seen the other movies, hear me
out. I caught a little bit of The Hunt. It's interesting. I need to watch the whole thing. But I need to have a little chat with Universal here for a second. Universal, can you meet me right over here for 1 second? I gotta talk to you. Not too close. Keep your distance, 6 feet. Now we're releasing movies early, okay? You know, a lot of us are staying at home. We want to see these movies. You have a movie that you were supposed to release very, very soon in May that I think would be beneficial for you to go ahead and just release digitally. It stars Vin Diesel, John Cena, and all these amazing, amazing actors and actresses. And you moved it to April of next year. Just give it to us now. It's okay. You've got enough money. You can let us have it now.
Here's why I think they would say no. They released two Blumhouse movies early. Blumhouse movies are notoriously low budget.
Mm-hmm.
So the return on investment doesn't have as much of a stake. To make, like, it doesn't have as much pressure to make a ton of money. Fast 9, however, will make, you'll have to bleep this, a ton of money.
true. Good point.
They are going to want to scrape every cent out of the movie theaters when that thing actually comes out, especially now. So I wouldn't get your hopes up.
I have to wait a year now for that. Universal, you got to think about the family here. Come on.
They got to think about their family in their pockets. We'll see what Disney does with Mulan and Black Widow at this point. There is a Marvel journalist that I follow on Twitter named Manabyte. I don't know if you've followed him or seen any of his stuff. He tweeted that Disney is working on some stuff for Disney Plus, some big things coming soon, but it's not going to be the Marvel shows early. And he said, we'll make staying at home through April much more fun if it happens.
Hmm.
Yeah. I'm not really sure what that could be. Because, I mean, you've heard and seen the rumors of, like, stuff in development. And
yeah.
I don't know what it could be. It certainly isn't the Marvel shows early. It could not possibly be Mando because they just wrapped it right before all of this stuff started happening.
Right, right. I know that... So, a good friend of mine, Jenny Lynn, who used to host the show with me, she dropped a cryptic post day or two ago about something coming to Disney Plus that she has been helping work on, that people are going to want to be interested in. And it's, when you just told me that, I'm like, here's my immediate thought. Now, this is going to be a far out there blue sky thought, but if they're working with some my friend who works with the theme parks, could they be doing like Disney's own shot POVs and doing virtual rides?
Huh. See, that wasn't what I was thinking, but that's interesting. Because last year they announced that they were developing a show about, it was like Behind the Attraction with The Rock.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that is it, or one of those things, you know? I haven't heard about it since they announced it. It was late last year, I think, when that came out.
I don't know. We'll probably find out within the next few weeks, but if they start putting up their own POVs, we're out of a job.
I sure hope not.
Although, as much as I do, you know, love shooting the POVs, it would be really cool if Disney did release their own, like, professionally mounted POVs of these rides. That would be pretty cool.
Now, here's the thing I wish Disney would release, but like Universal, they know that it will make a you-know-what ton of money, is that Hamilton Pro Shot that they were saving for next year.
Yeah, it's already shot. Maybe already now's shot. A good time to release it.
Yeah, it was shot 3-4 years ago now, because it's 2020. It was shot in 2016.
Mm-hmm. Come on, don't throw away your shot.
They're going to make hundreds of millions of dollars when it releases in theaters, and it's going to be ridiculous. But I wish they would put it out early.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Obviously, we'll talk about it whenever something does get announced, so stay tuned.
All right, one last thing. It's a little bit sad because I just got to see a preview of this when I was in Orlando, and it was beautiful, and I'm very sad to see it delayed. But as of right now, this past week, actually, the new Cirque du Soleil show coming to Disney Springs, Drawn to Life, is postponed. It was supposed to start previews this past week,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to officially debut on April 17th. It looks like that's probably not happening. It might get delayed to late April, early May, hopefully, if everything shakes out. But as of right now, it is delayed, and this follows a slew of other delays and closings for Cirque du Soleil shows around the world. So it's really unfortunate, because preview that they showed us, man, it was absolutely gorgeous. Beautiful.
Yeah, from the little like 40-second teaser video they released to the media, it looks like it's going to be a great, great show. And we saw this coming. We knew this was going to be inevitable, but still sad. We'll have to wait a little longer for that.
Yeah, and it really is a shame, because I know my words won't really say much if you can't see what the show is like, but it will do really well when it does open. Yeah. I truly believe that.
You can go to our YouTube channel.
Yeah, we do have clips of it.
There's a preview.
When I saw that preview, the first thing I did after I shot my stand-up outside of the theater for our segment, I texted Josh and I was like, as soon as we come back, we have to buy tickets for this show. It was that good, especially the pencil bit with the acrobat. Oh my God, that would like make your heart fly up into your throat with some of the jumps and tricks and stuff he was doing. It was crazy. And nice. The way that they utilize Disney Animation, original pencil tests from Walt Disney Animation, it'll like bring tears to your eyes. I definitely got misty a couple of times watching it, and it's a shame that it's been postponed, but here's hoping that things get back to normal soon, and then people can see it.
Yep. Exactly. All right, so moving on to the main attraction. Brittany, every week since we started the podcast, I have asked you a question. So I think for the last time, Brittany, how many more days until Animal Crossing comes out for the Switch?
Zero, because it's been out for 2 days.
Woo! All right, time to talk some New Horizons.
All right.
That's the name of it, right?
Yeah, Animal Crossing New Horizons. Yeah. So the basic premise, if you don't know, is Animal Crossing is described as a communication game. It's like a life sim where your character moves to a town inhabited by animals. And they're very cute. And they all have different personality types. And it's just very wholesome. You can fish. You can catch bugs to fill a museum. You can beautify your town. You can make friends with animals in the village. You can write letters. Your mom will send you letters. And in this one, they kind of flip the script. And instead of having you arrive to a fully developed town with neighbors and everything, you arrive to a desert island, completely uninhabited, covered in weeds and flora and fauna, with two other animals. And you all live in tents until you upgrade your tent to a house. And you start from scratch. You completely craft this island to be the Animal Crossing village that you want it to be. And you have so much control over where other animals put their tents to live, because their houses will eventually go up there. You get to pick where the stores go. Eventually, you can terraform and build new rivers and ponds and create waterfalls. And it's crazy how much you can actually do. I've only had it for 2 days, and I just paid off my second house upgrade. I get to open the museum tomorrow, and I think I get to open the shop Nook's Cranny tomorrow as well, or it might be the next day. It might take 2 days to build because I put the construction up today. But it's so, you could put so many hours into it. I'm actually going to turn on my Switch and see how many hours I've put into it now and embarrass myself.
I saw someone post on Twitter today, while you're looking that up, apparently some of the villagers, like, they are can be a-holes.
Oh, yes. They can be mean. And if you're mean to them, they'll remember. Like,
oh boy.
In games past, if you ever hated a villager, you thought they were ugly or something and you wanted them to move, you could put pitfalls around for them to fall into and not help them out. You could hit them with your net a bunch of times until they get angry, and eventually they will get so pissed off at you that they'll move away. They still do that in this game, but they will remember how cruel you were to them, and if they move to a friend's island and you encounter them, they'll remember how mean you were.
Wow. Yeah, I saw this one video of someone like trying to catch a butterfly that landed on a stump, and this one villager just goes waltzing up and sits on the butterfly instead.
I saw that. I think that was accidental, because I'm pretty sure that villager has like a nice demeanor. So because this game is so new, it won't tell me how much I've played it. Because it says first played 2 days ago, because it just came out. But for comparison, similar games I've played, Stardew Valley, I've put 145 hours in. Pokemon Shield, I put 70 hours in. Graveyard Keeper, which is kind of like Stardew Valley, but with a morgue, 35 hours. You can imagine how much I've put in these past couple days.
I can't. Yeah.
There's so much to do. It's crazy. You can grind forever. Josh is 1 day ahead of me as far as progress goes, because he downloaded the game instead of waiting for the physical copy. So he actually got to start playing at 11 p.m. on Thursday. The game came out on Friday. I had to wait until I got my physical copy, because I love physical games, but now he's a day ahead of me on everything.
Have you gotten to visit his island, or like, how's that work?
Yeah, so you have to wait until your second day. So your first day is like your tutorial period and getting to learn your neighbors and your island and everything. But the second day is when the airport opens, and then you can travel via local or online play, but you have to have Nintendo Online, and that's $20 a year. And you can travel to your friends' islands on your Switch. You can travel to random islands if you have their Dodo code and not be friends with those people. You can also do Mystery Island tours, which cost 2,000 Nook miles, which is kind of like an achievement currency. It's 2,000 Nook miles per ticket, and you need the ticket to take a mystery tour. But it takes you to a randomly generated island that the game developers have made, and it's populated with various fruit, flowers, bugs, fish, and there's always a villager that is there that you can invite to live on your island if you want. I invited a cow named Norma today to come live on my island. I have to invite two more animals to move before I can build their houses, though.
Okay.
But I don't invite ugly ones, so I make sure they're all cute first.
How? What? That, okay, for, let me just say this. That just sounds horrible. Like,
you haven't seen some of
these. Why you gotta be so selective?
Because some of them are not cute. Josh got Hazel the squirrel as his Uchi villager, which is like the big sister personality type. Look her up. Mm-hmm. She's hideous. Hideous. And I told him, he was like, I was like, who did you get for your villagers? He was like, oh, Hazel and Antonio. And I was like, reset the game. Hazel sucks.
That's horrible.
No, she's that's ugly.
That's going to promote so much, like, horrible, like, kids are going to start, like, treating people at school horribly now. Like, that. I'm being truthful here. That sounds horrible.
I'm sorry. I don't treat real people like this. I just want my island to be curated the way I want. Please don't hate me.
we'll see what happens whenever I eventually get the game, because I may be like, oh, yeah, you ugly. You go away.
Well, see, because like I told you many episodes ago, I collected all the amiibo cards. So other than the 8 new villagers that are introduced in this game, I've seen all of them and I have access to all of them. I'm certainly not going to invite all of them to come live on my island.
All right, then. All right.
But
now, okay, tell me this, because you were saying that you just paid off your second like house mortgage, so you don't. You have to, like, pay rent?
Not necessarily. So when you first move to the island, you have no money, obviously. So Tom Nook is like, give me, I think it's 1,000 Nook miles or something, to pay off your tent. And then once you do that, then you move to paying off your mortgages in bells, which is the currency of the game, the money. And the first one, I think, is 98,000 bells is your first mortgage. And then the next one is 198, and that's the one that I just unlocked today. So tomorrow when I checked the game, my house will be upgraded. I think my one room gets bigger. And then I'll have to pay back 198 bells before I can upgrade my house again. And I don't know how many house upgrades there are because I haven't looked ahead and I don't time travel. So, I can't really say, but I'm sure you could look it up. But each time you upgrade your house, that's like an added price tag that you have to pay off. And you can't just upgrade it all at once and then pay off that one lump sum. You have to pay off each sum for each upgrade before you can progress.
Man, this is
or
like...
Or you can choose to live in a tent forever. It's up to you.
Okay, I was about to say, like, what if you wanted to just tell old Tommy Boy to buzz off and be like,
yeah, I mean, that honestly kind of keeps you from progressing in the game if you choose not to, but you can if you want. It's up to you.
I thought this was a video game. I didn't want this to echo real life.
No, but see, it's fantasy in that one day I might own a home.
Gotcha. Yeah.
In today's economy, me, a millennial,
ain't happening.
Owning a home? In this economy?
honestly, I am, like, really, like, desperate to get this now. Like, I want this game. I want to play this.
I have to say, having played it both on the TV and in handheld, it works better as a handheld game. It looks gorgeous both ways.
Well, playing on the TV, I'm definitely going to be getting... I'm definitely getting a Nintendo Switch Lite for sure, because I don't care about plugging into the TV.
Then you're golden. I literally only played it once on the TV. I mean, I streamed the game on Saturday I think it was, or maybe, no, it was Friday. I streamed the game on Friday when I got it on my computer, and it was fine. That's just like a little monitor. But all other times other than that, and I played the prologue on my TV, I've been playing it in handheld. And it just, I don't know, that to me is Animal Crossing, because when I started playing the games with Wild World back in the early 2000s, that was a handheld game, and that's where I really got into it and got started. Though playing it on the TV is where you see those HD graphics really shine, but it still looks great in handheld, so I think you would be totally set with a light.
I can't wait. So, what is your current mission? Like, what are you currently doing?
Well, I just paid off that mortgage that I told you about. Before we started recording, I was doing a Mystery Island tour just to gather some materials, see if I could catch any fish or bugs that I hadn't caught before, because the museum opens tomorrow in my town, and I have to donate all the bugs and fish I've been catching for the past 3 days to the museum. And right now, because it is closed and he's not taking any donations, they're all piled up around the outside of the museum. So it's just like a bunch of crap surrounding the construction area. That was all I really had to do. Now I'm just kind of like grinding, just like fishing, catching bugs, going on Mystery Island tours. The only thing that I haven't really accomplished yet is I need fruit. I need someone to give me oranges and peaches, and then I'll have all the fruit possible in the game in my town.
Nice.
But that's where I'm at right now. So if you're listening and I still haven't gotten oranges or peaches by the time this gets posted, please help me out.
You can. I'm sure you have your friend code on your Twitter.
No, you will have to tweet at me, and I will give you a Dodo code to come visit, because I don't give my friend code out to just anybody.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you have any other questions? I feel like you want the game, and I've played it. Ask me anything.
I mean, I don't want to go too long here.
Right.
But, I mean, I give you all my generic questions that I have just watching everyone play right now. It just so much random stuff I've seen online, like people fishing, and like there's a small little shadowy fish, but they pull it out and it's this giant fish, and I'm just like, the heck?
You're probably like, talking about the oarfish or the sunfish.
Yeah, the sunfish, exactly. And then I think I saw one, I don't know if this was fake or not, but I think I saw someone pull out a great white shark.
Yeah, the shark was real. The caption that you probably saw that with was not.
Yeah, I realized that was not, but I didn't think a great white shark.
I tried to catch a shark today, and I could not do it, but I managed to catch a blue marlin before we started recording.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, okay, real quick, because you kept talking about the museum, what's the purpose of the museum, and why do you have to donate things?
It's just like it's that collecting part of the game, you know, how it's like you got to catch them all in Pokemon. Yeah. Here, you got to catch all the fish and the bugs and donate them. Because if you do and choose to donate them instead of selling them for bells, which you could do, and you're totally valid to do that, it fills up this beautiful museum full of all these creatures that you've caught, and you can go and see them. There's tanks full of fish, beautiful like butterfly gardens and things. It's awesome. If you get a chance you can take a look at it in the Nintendo Direct, the Animal Crossing Direct that came out earlier this month, and it shows a look at the museum, and it is beautiful. I'll probably post pictures tomorrow on Twitter if you want to take a look, but it's mostly just like a collecting thing, because the bugs and the fish change based on the weather patterns and what time of year it is, because they only appear for so long during the seasons.
That's awesome. So this really is a game that you really need to play year round.
Yeah, and they're built to play for years. I mean, I know people have time traveled. I've seen them post about it on social media, but I'm only 2 days in, and I feel like I have so much to do still, so much game that I haven't gotten to play, and it's really built to last.
Oh, I can't wait. All right, so last question I have.
Okay.
How's the toilet paper situation? Are they running out too?
Listen, we managed to get some and it was a miracle.
You can actually get toilet paper?
So Josh went to go to our local corner store up the street.
Oh, hold on. No, I'm not talking about real life. I'm talking about an Animal Crossing.
Oh, I'm sure there's toilet paper in Animal Crossing.
Okay.
I haven't gotten any yet. I thought you were talking about real life.
No, I was trying to make a joke about if they're running out in the Animal Crossing world too, but that fell flat and I apologize.
I thought you were asking me about real life because we had such a hard time getting toilet paper.
Listen, we're having to like ration ours right now too because Target's still out, so we're up so and so creek without toilet paper soon.
Oh man, we go check your corner store, like check the like gas stations and stuff, because that's where we managed to get ours. Josh went to go to the corner store for snacks and came back and like put the package on the living room like coffee table. So prideful because he finally found toilet paper.
So this is what it was like in the olden days when you went out and hunted for your supplies and food.
Look, woman. Look at what I brought home.
Oh, my God. I'm just picturing Josh saying that. Oh, my God.
He probably would have. If I'm going to tell him about this after, and he'll probably agree.
All right. So before we go, I think we touched a little bit on it earlier, but what's some things that you're watching during your quarantine time?
Well, Westworld is back. It started last Sunday, and the new episode comes on 10 minutes from now when we're recording.
Oh, we should end this soon. Okay.
And then I started a Netflix anime today called Beastar. I saw a bunch of people talking about it on Twitter, so I caved to social pressure and started watching it. It's interesting. And then Josh has been watching Fixer Upper on Hulu like crazy because he's itching to fix up the house.
Nice.
But that's really been it. And a bunch of YouTube videos. All of our theme park YouTubers that we normally watch aren't doing videos from the parks anymore. So it's been really interesting to see how they kind of handle changing their content due to everything going on.
Right. Now, we're just catching movies. Like we watched Onward, watched Star Wars again, and I cried like a baby again. I watched a good cry, not a this sucks so much cry. I actually still do enjoy the movie.
Well, that's good.
catching up on our shows, new episodes, and like Brooklyn Nine-Nine and Schooled and Goldbergs. We're also watching Lego Masters. If you haven't watched Lego Masters, it is a great reality competition series. Highly suggest watching that if you're a fan of Legos. Just seeing what's on, basically. You know, the kids are watching their kids' videos right now. We got Spencer doing some ABC Mouse and some online classes while she's missing school. So we're just, you know, like I said, we're just taking it one day at a time.
That's all you can do.
Really is. All right, so we got to go so Brittany can go catch a new episode of Westworld. So, Brittany, where can everyone find you on the interwebs?
You can find me at Brittany Tuttle. That's BRITTANITUTTLE. Yes, it's spelled funny on Twitter and Instagram and twitch.tv/BrittPlays with 3 T's. I'm finally streaming now.
You did your first stream.
It's not just an empty thing. Yeah, I did my first stream, and I immediately realized I'm going to have to upgrade my Elgato because it's got a severe input lag. That's my next purchase eventually.
There you go. But hey, you're starting it up, so that's great.
Yeah. It seemed to go well. I had 8 viewers at one point, but it's more than I figured.
Post about it, so get more viewers out there.
I'll do it right after ENL so you guys can come crash.
Boom, there it is. You can find me on Twitter at Banksley, on Instagram at Disney Goofball, and of course on all the Attraction Magazine social channels on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and attractionsmagazine.com. So just keep up to date with all the things that are going on. We'll be making all the announcements about the parks when they make them, so just stay tuned to all the social media channels. And, you know, stay safe. Stay in your homes, you know, wash your hands, all that stuff. And, you know, just take care of yourselves, take care of your families. If you are, you know, separated from any of your family, give them a call. Check in on them. See how they're doing, especially your older relatives. It's a very important time for them to be able to, you know, self-isolate and be well. So just, you know, give your mom or your grandparents or your dad a call every now and then and just check in on them.
FaceTime, too, if you're able. It really does help to have that face-to-face communication right now.
It really does. And yeah, like I said, just stay safe and, you know, take it a day at a time. We'll all get through this.
And we'll be here.
We will be here, and we will be back next week with a new episode. So until then, I am Banks.
And I'm Brittany.
Go out there, have fun. What?
Go what? Out there and have fun? Go out where?
Oh, no. No, never mind. Don't go out there. Wait. Stop. Listen. No. Put those keys down. Don't go out there. That's... dang it. I'm so used to saying that. How about you stay inside and have fun, and we will talk to you next week.
Bye-bye, everybody.